Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast on a Monday, a marathon Monday, if you will. It is the fifth annual ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Daniel Dopp, of course, Stefania Bell joining us for this great show today. We've got a lot of, planned, Double Trouble, and plenty of news off the top. Hello, Stefania, looking great in her palatial estate as always. Matthew, so far, and we're only, 14 hours into the marathon. Anything right. Stand out to you in this fifth edition of the Fantasy Football Marathon, which of course is performed this year under much more unusual circumstances than it has been for the previous four iterations?
100% Field. And so myself, you, Stefania Bell, Mike Clay, Damian Woody, and Adam Schefter kicked things off last night with a SportsCenter special starting at 8 o'clock last night on ESPN2 for the Fantasy Football Marathon. And right off the bat, not a shock, but Shefty makes news.
You are the best in the business for a reason. I just got us right into it.
I'm just saying, like, you asked me what stood out to me. That's what stood out to me. Well, I mean, listen, there are a lot of different things out there. You know, we can go through them. But for me, the biggest thing that's come out of the first 14 hours was what Shefty said. Do you want to tee that up?
Let's hit the drop first. Daniel, give me something. You don't have anybody to hit drop
today. My iPad's not working. Maybe Lisa will hit the news or noise sounder upstairs in the Yanko machine. Oh, she can't do it.
News or noise. All right. This is our modified version of news or noise dropped. Sorry, that wasn't particularly great. But hey, we've got some limitations. However, the news was important.
Listen, anyone that listens to this show or watches this show,
no, they have low
expectations. They are familiar with not great.
That's right.
This is mediocre fantasy advice, my friend.
We are nothing if not consistent.
100%. Right, so we are right down the middle, my friend. And
pretend that there was news or noise and the drop was being.
Whoa. Hold on. Are you guys trying to take over my segment? This is my segment.
Well, I was gonna say, pretend there was a news or noise drop, and then Daniel, here's your chance to take the lead here. Daniel Dopp.
May I do this? Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dopp, who was not part of the SportsCenter special.
That's accurate.
Fantasy Football Marathon last night, presented by our friends at EA Madden, NFL 21. So Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dopp,
who
they did not allow on TV, but they will allow on a streaming internet show.
Accurate. Yes.
It is your turn, time to shine.
Can I have one more second to pull Matthew here? Give me a show violation. I'll take it. Give me three. Daniel Dopp, who is the only member of the 06010 universe to ever be spotlighted on SportsCenter's top 10 plays.
That's true.
Daniel Dopp, who the reason why he wasn't available last night is because he was on a virtual signature tour. Daniel Dopp, number 7 in the ESPN SportsCenter Friday night edition of the top 10 plays for what some are calling the greatest throw since Joe Montana put a ball on a line for Dwight Clark in what is now known as the catch. An incredible moment for you, Daniel.
It felt pretty unreal, and I was just really pleased that Matthew Berry powered through and just like kept right on going with the take, because that card throw is never going to happen again.
So for those that missed it, Field and I both posted it on our social media, as did Daniel. And so basically, when we do our love-hate segment during the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, which is streaming now, by the way, and the love-hate show, or you can even watch it today at 3 p.m. on ESPN2. As part of the marathon.
Nice.
You'll get to see this episode where Daniel did this. And everyone thought it was fake, but it was completely real. Daniel tosses the cards that he reads the question. And this particular time, Daniel decided to get a little bit fancy, try to challenge himself. He tossed it into my pocket square.
Amazing.
Halfway across the studio, because we're obviously very far apart. It was an amazing throw.
Daniel's not a golfer, but that was your hole-in-one.
That is a hole-in-one.
100%, and I feel like I just took a lot of the time that Russell Wilson and I spent the preseason before I got to watch him as I was catching passes from him.
Right.
I understood delivery and body motion.
Let Daniel cook. Let Daniel cook.
All right, Daniel.
Speaking of cooking, I would like to say news or noise topic number one. ESPN's Daniel Dopp reports that Adam Schefter said on the Fantasy Football Marathon that if Dalvin Cook doesn't have a new contract in the days leading into the season, it would give him pause in drafting him to his fantasy team. Is that news or noise, Matthew Berry?
That is 100% news. That is 100% news. And that is, I haven't been online that much, so I don't know if Fantasy Football Twitter has taken up as much as they should have, but that is something that people should be like, whoa, wait, what? Hang on. So to be clear here, what Adam is saying, and Adam Schefter, you guys all know him as, newsbreaker extraordinaire, right? And, you know, the guy with two cell phones never sleeps. You guys all know that. But Field and I, and Daniel, you as well, the three of us know him. In addition to that, he is a hardcore fantasy football player. He loves it. He obsesses over it. He plays in multiple leagues and has done so for a long time. So Adam, when Adam says that if a new contract for Dalvin Cook is not done by the start of the season, it would give Adam pause in terms of drafting Dalvin Cook. That is something to take seriously because Adam understands what he is talking about when he says that. He understands the weight of that statement. And so for me, you know, a couple years removed from Le'Veon Bell, and hearing somebody like Adam say that to me, Field, absolutely gives me pause. It gives me concern. I think we have to, as we get close to the season, start thinking about downgrading Dalvin Cook. And right now, we need to raise Alexander Mattison and Mike Boone in our overall rankings and in our running back rankings because they're very important insurance and they could have tremendous upside.
All right. In a couple of words here, though, how soon would you draft Dalvin Cook right this second?
Still in the first round. Still in the first round, but I would reach for Alexander Mattison. I would reach for him.
But let's talk about him in the first round very quickly. There was a time.
Right now, I have him at five.
That's the answer. Pick right now, five is where you feel comfortable drafting Dalvin Cook.
But I have to tell you, like, you know, it is before I thought there was a big five, then a little bit of a drop, and then you and I have debated six and seven, which is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I have at six. You have Derrick Henry at six. I have Henry at seven. You have CEH at seven. But for me, it's much closer. I think there's a big four. And then I think Cook, CEH, and Henry are in their own group. So that's I would move Dalvin Cook out of that RB1 tier into that, you know, second tier of still first-round running backs. But to me, he's now – there's a clear delineation between, you know, CMC, Barkley, Zeke, and Kamara.
Okay, Daniel.
Okay.
Topic two.
Topic number two. We're going to start with Stefania here. After missing two practices – Lamar Jackson is dealing with soft tissue issues, but is expected to be at practice today. Is that news or noise, Stefania Bell?
Well, it's an accurate report, but it's basically noise. He is back at practice today, and this is not a significant injury. And when you have a quarterback who runs as much as he does, then if you feel even the slightest of twinges, you are going to get a couple days off.
Okay, Field.
I'm going to call it noise. I agree with Stefania. I mean, I'm not going to ever go against her medical suggestions or advice here, but it's noise. Hasn't impacted the way that I feel about Lamar Jackson. We discussed this at length last night during our SportsCenter ranking special, that Lamar Jackson is basically being drafted about a full round sooner than I would be interested in taking Lamar Jackson. He's going in the middle of the second round. I would prefer, if I'm going to be the person who kicks off the quarterback run in my draft, to draft him somewhere in the middle of the third round. Daniel, let's go right back to you, and then we're going to go right back to Stefania.
You bet we are. With Rob Gronkowski now, Bruce Arians said, he looks to me like this was Gronkowski 5 or 6 years ago. Stefania, with Gronk not playing football and the amount of time that he has been is a little over a year. Is that news or noise to you?
It's noise, and I'll tell you why. Look, I'm glad that Gronk looks as good as he does, and I'm sure a year off from football makes everybody feel better. Aspen Roethlisberger, I'm sure he feels better as well. But the last time Gronk played all 16 games in a season was 2011. So that's more than 5 or 6 years ago. And in the interim, yes, you know, he has had the back surgery, the forearm surgery, the ACL surgery, all of these things. You can't erase a person's history. So while I appreciate that Arian said he looks like he's moving better than he did before he retired, which I believe, I'm not buying that he's the Gronk of 2011 when he last played 16 games.
Okay. Matthew, yeah. Anything to add?
No, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, here's what I would say. It's noise to me as well.
Great.
But so fundamentally, this is something that I believe, and you may feel differently. Probably the thing that gives me the most consternation in being a fantasy analyst and ranker is whiffing on a player who goes on to be a superstar, right?
Sure.
That's just a really tough thing to reconcile because normally if we have a guy that we are very confident in going into the season and he busts, in a lot of cases, Matthew, injury catches up to the guy, offensive line play is so bad that you say no one could have done much behind that offensive line, things of that nature. when you downplay the potential of a player who has been, I think, the most dominant tight end in NFL history at his peak, yeah, it gives me a little bit of caution to think that he couldn't have a top three fantasy tight end season. I will just say, though, that like we're ultimately pressed to assign or decide what are the most likely outcomes, and I still believe that even if Gronk feels better, there are three to five tight ends who, to me, have a clear, very obvious higher ceiling and higher floor than Gronk.
There's just the upside is undeniable on Rob Gronkowski, and it's why he's going among the top 10 tight ends. And
he's going sixth right now.
Which is a little higher than I have him, but I'm as a top 10 tight end, and I'm more in on Gronk than I'm out. But the reason we have him a little bit lower is because there is more risk with Rob Gronkowski than there is with some of these other guys. It's the injury. It's the new team. It's the year off. It's the injury history. It's also, by the way, that when Tom Brady's looking to throw, he's got a lot of people to choose from. Yeah. Like, if he decides instead of Gronk, he goes to Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, both of whom are great in the red zone, that's not going to shock you. So we are on the same page here, Field Yates. I will just quickly add that when you say, like, you know, our biggest fear is, like, missing on a player that explodes, I'm out on the limb on one of those guys this year, Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders makes me insanely nervous. Like, I'm as a running back too, but I'm lower on him than consensus, and it's because of my concerns about small sample size and Doug Peterson. But
if you
absolutely
have a reason,
Miles Sanders could blow up, and that's the one that makes me the most nervous of all my calls this year.
A couple more before we get to Double Trouble, Daniel.
Hey, Stefania, we're going to come back to you. Riverboat Ron Rivera says Bryce Love can be in every down back. Is that news or noise to you?
I think it's noise, and here's why. I love that Bryce Love is looking really good in camp. I'm happy for him as a person. Ron Rivera obviously thinks he's got the talent to pull this off. But I ask you, when's the last time that you had a player who hasn't played in 2 years that is going to step on an NFL field for the first time in his career, coming off an ACL that had to be a little problematic for him to miss an entire season a year after the surgery? Why would you suddenly think he can touch the ball that often, handle that volume as effectively a rookie? I just don't buy it. I don't think he's built for that. And I think he's in the mix, but I don't believe he'll be an every down back.
Stefania, Alex Smith hasn't played in 2 years. You saying that about Alex Smith too?
Well, right now they're not saying he's an every down quarterback.
But there's a big difference between every down quarterback.
Of course there is. I just like needling Stefania. Look, here's the thing. I understand what she's saying, and I'm with you.
I can handle it.
I would never go against Stefania's medical advice. I would push back on this. Bryce Love, I believe, does have that talent. I think it's been a while since we've seen him at Stanford, but this is when he was the guy at Stanford. But he was special, and had he not gotten injured, he would have been drafted much, much higher in the NFL draft. I don't think there's any dispute about that.
Sure.
And so, look, I think they're going to use multiple running backs in Washington. I think you'll see Adrian Peterson. They're talking up Peyton Barber as well, and obviously Antonio Gibson. They're using him all over the field. But I think when Ron Rivera is saying that he could be an every down back, I think he could be. Not week one. Listen, you're not starting any Washington running back week one this year. But over the second half of the season, I think there's a chance that someone emerges from that backfield, and I think it's most likely either Antonio Gibson or Bryce Love as somebody that you can use regularly in fantasy.
It's noise to me. I'm out on the Washington backfield. We've now discussed the possibility of like four different players being fantasy relevant this year. Somebody to keep an eye on as Peyton Barber appeared to get banged up early at practice. Most important piece here is that all of us from the 06-0-0 sending our well wishes to you, Ron Rivera, as you fight cancer. We know that a few people are more mentally tough and courageous than you, so we are thinking about you. We're thinking about your family, and he's been through a lot this past year, but there are certain people that are built for a determined moment, and Ron Rivera is one of them, so we wish him and the entire organization and his family well during this trying time.
If anyone is prepared for the fight, it is Coach Rivera, so prayers up for Coach, 100%.
All right, last one here. Dallas Goedert has a hairline thumb fracture. The estimated return is 1 to 2 weeks. Stefania Bell, is this news or noise when considering Dallas Goedert in your drafts?
It's noise. He was back out at practice on Sunday. Like, Zach Ertz is also listed on the injury list and was back out at practice on Sunday. Right now, Everything in this department is noise unless they miss significant time.
All right, so I everything that Stefania said is accurate. But you know why it's news for me? Because I've been thinking about this more and more. We had a fairly passionate...
What's it look like when you think about it?
Why do you always ask how things look? It's like every 3 days. What does it look like when you eat breakfast? Like,
yeah, I'm just fascinated.
Maybe like, what does it look like when you go see a sunset on like the coast of California? That's a cool thing to imagine.
No, I'm just...
Yeah, what does it look like when you think? I'm sure that's exhilarating for most of our listeners during this audio medium. We had a fairly...
It's always interesting to me what'll get Field. You know what I mean? Like, he's so unflappable, and I try to flap him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's always sometimes where
try
you think, like,
him.
Just a throwaway. Yeah. Just flaps him.
Yeah.
That was a throwaway. That was just a dumb little throwaway, and it flapped him.
It flapped me.
Squirrel.
I am no
it
longer...
Did.
I am flappable. No longer unflappable.
Yes, sir.
Is that, right, is that a word?
I don't know what will flap Field.
Oh, gosh. What's that?
What's that, Stefania? What do you got?
Matthew being late.
There you go.
Being late.
That'll get me, Stefania.
I actually disagree with that. I'm late all the time. At this point, Field's used to it. He's numb to it. He's immune to it.
Doesn't mean we can't have some anxious moments before the podcast begins.
I got traffic issue. All right. Anyways. I'm sorry, my friend. So Dallas Goedert.
Dallas Goedert, here's why
you've been thinking about this situation.
Yeah, so we had a fairly spirited conversation about Zach Ertz when we were doing the Eagles in Double Trouble.
Yes, sir.
And I've come around to think about this. I said at the time I still believe Zach Ertz is part of the elite trio of tight ends at the top, and you have Mark Andrews ranked ahead of him, which that's okay. But I just think now more than ever we're underappreciating Zach Ertz for the player that he is. And this was a point that I made at the time, but I want to double down on it. And I know that he's deserving of a pay raise after Travis Kelce and also George Kittle got a contract, and I think his number should be around those guys. But I also do wonder if he's also being underappreciated in fantasy football. And I would encourage those who are on the Twitter to go find the thread that you and Mike Clay had a conversation, a back and forth. This was not you're right, I'm wrong, or vice versa. It was just a conversation about the value of Zach Ertz and just how much utility he brings to your roster. This is a player who, other than 1 3-week stretch last year where like the chips just did not fall in his favor because he was being triple teamed on some Sundays, that he was an absolute rock star again. He's going to be that way. So it's not news in the sense that like I'm less in on Dallas Goedert. It's just a reminder that I'm more in on Zach Ertz as a player.
It's fair. The one thing I will counter on that is that what Mike Clay and I were discussing is, so Mike was saying that he doesn't understand why Zach Ertz is, you know, not third anymore. You know, Zach Ertz is dropping for some unknown reason. And what I said is the unknown reason is called Mark Andrews. That's why he's dropping. It's
right.
Because I think some people agree with me that Andrews and not Ertz is the tight end three off the board. But I think where Mike and I agree is that Ertz, if he goes to the fifth or sixth round, which is where I've seen him drop in some ESPN leagues or some 10-team leagues, we're both in at that value. Where I'm out on Ertz this year is if he's going in the third, you know, around, I have Mark Andrews ahead of him. I don't have him a lot ahead of him, but I have him ahead of him. And so, like, probably about a round. And so I think that's the thing. Like, if Ertz is going in the third, I'm out. But in the late fourth, the fifth, even the sixth, 100% that's great value. I agree. He's going to be one of the top four tight ends in fantasy this year, barring any sort of injury. He's a stud.
He is a superstar. That much is clear. Don't know if we're going to have a drop or not, but it's time now for Double Trouble.
Double Trouble. They're on double secret probation.
Daniel's was better than yours.
It was a collaborative effort.
Yeah, that was totally...
Both of us in concert.
It was a double trouble feat. Yeah,
very
and Daniel.
Important, you know. Yeah, we're like Dan and Shay. You know, those guys rock it. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams. And,
sure,
of course, one of the teams on Hard Knocks, which is every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. on HBO. But let's discuss them for fantasy football. And this Rams backfield, super interesting, Matthew. And it's two players that we are most interested in. But can I go to Stefania right now for a little injury update? I would love to ask Stefania. Stefania, one of the players that we are keeping an eye on in the Rams' backfield is Daryl Henderson, who last year was generating all sorts of headlines. He was a favorite of Sean McVay's, third-round pick. But where are we at with Daryl Henderson's health because of a recent injury he sustained during practice?
Yeah, hamstring tweak. These are very popular right now. As soon as the guys put the pads on, you're seeing these hamstring strains all around the league, but reportedly mild and not expected to keep him down very long.
Okay, that's good news right there. Yeah, I believe Sean McVay was quoted as saying last night that he expects him to be ready for the Cowboys in week one, which is, I think, 20 days away from right now. So, Matthew and Stefania, we'll be back to you in just a moment here, but ostensibly, the starting running back for the Rams has a lot of value in fantasy football.
Sure.
2 years removed from being the offense you wanted to be a part of. And Todd Gurley, for some of his limitations right now, has scored 12 touchdowns at least in 3 straight years as the Rams starting running back.
As bad as the Rams offense was last year, especially in the run game, and as much as their offensive line struggled, was injured, there was trades, like they were third in red zone rush percentage.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley had double-digit touchdowns last year. Even though he was inefficient and didn't get a ton of rushing yards, he still was a viable fantasy starter because when they got in close, they wanted to run the ball.
So what I'm trying to figure out is whether the door was opened during this injury to Daryl Henderson, despite, again, Stefania's relatively clean bell of health that he should be good soon. Is the door now open for Cam Akers to, for draft purposes, be selected as an RB2, back-end RB2, or maybe even a flex consideration? Or is there an element of needing to see it before you fully invest in Cam Akers?
Yes and no. Okay. Like, I'm fencing a little bit here, obviously. But so here's how I'll answer that question. My belief is the door open for Cam Akers to be a fantasy starter, a fantasy asset? 100%. Okay. Am I comfortable drafting him as a fantasy starter? I am not. I would not want to leave the draft in a 10 or 12 team league and my number two running back is Cam Akers. Now, if you're doing a zero RB or even doing a modified zero RB where you went, you know, one running back like you did, you got like Zeke or Kamara, and then you punted on running back for quite some time, and then you come back around and you're going to get a lot of sort of upside flyers, if you will, which is kind of a modified zero RB, then I get it. I'm okay with it. But just in general, in terms of roster construction, I would be much more comfortable with Akers as my three or four. We just don't know how this is going to play out. Mm. Again, people were so excited about Daryl Henderson last year.
Yeah.
And he's coming in to a season where Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown are there. And then, you know, Henderson was being drafted higher than Akers is now. And he's being drafted higher than where Henderson is.
Coach Speak did that
100%. And so, I'm always nervous about drafting a rookie without knowing there's a clear path to playing time. I do think it is, the potential is there. I think their run game will be better. Akers certainly was very impressive at Florida State. 8 different games with a rushing touchdown and multiple receptions. He averaged, you know, over 23 touches a game. Like, he was a workhorse back, right? I mean, and so you sort of see there, you know.
So for those that are watching now on a variety of mediums, a graphic entitled Mirror Image that shows two players, both went to Florida State, both drafted in the second round. One's 5'11", one's 5'10", one's 220 pounds, one's 217 pounds. One ran a 4.46, one ran a 4.47. Those two players, Dalvin Cook, he's a star, and Cam Akers. So physical profile comparable to Dalvin Cook. He was outstanding after contact last year, was Cam Akers. And for a team that hasn't been good for a while, Florida State, he was one of the few players you could actually enjoy watching week to week. So I think probably everything you said is really well taken. And people, I get it. People are going to get big mad at us no matter what call we make that is incorrect, no matter how consequential or inconsequential. But I'm not even sure the Rams know how their own backfield is going to shake out. So just for the purposes of drafting strategy, you mentioned that I think we all agree Cam Akers is the Rams running back we are most interested and invested in this year. Correct.
Yeah, but I will look right now, but hang on. Let me, okay. I'm going to clear, but I think this is important. So I have Cam Akers at 29.
Okay.
My running back 29. I have Daryl Henderson running back 30. So I have them right there.
Right.
And so do I have Cam Akers ranked the highest of the Rams running back? I do. But Cam Akers' ADP is running back 30. Daryl Henderson's ADP is running back 37. So I obviously consider Henderson the better value. Mm. I just think, and I just suddenly sounded like Mr. Unlimited there for some reason, but I consider Henderson the better value. Henderson is being drafted higher last year with a much tougher path to playing time. It was very small sample size, but there were moments last year where you saw those flashes of why they were so high on Henderson coming out of college. He's just a year removed from being a superstar in college.
There were a couple flashes.
He didn't get on the field very much.
I know. Yeah, so that's the crazy part.
The injury is certainly a detriment to him, proving that he should be the guy. But I like the idea field in terms of where both guys are going in their ADP. I like the idea of drafting Akers and Henderson and seeing how this plays out, because I think if you have both guys, every week you will likely have the starting running back of the Rams, and that is going to be a good thing, especially at their ADP.
Kind of reminds me of the Ravens in that regard. Draft both, and things are probably going to work out in your favor. This is the third occasion I can think of where we're deciding between a team's two wide receivers and which one might actually be the better value, because you could be selecting them picks apart, a round apart at most. It doesn't always happen. But if you're thinking about drafting a Rams wide receiver, it may very well be that you're sitting in your draft room and you're deciding between Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp at the same time.
Not his name.
Matthew's little Cooper Kupp.
Like, I wish we could. Our studio needs the little copper cup at some point back. We'll find that. I'm sure it's buried in some sort of storage container.
I think these are temporary digs, is what I've been told.
We'll
see what
out.
Happens. We'll see what happens.
So
I think they're sort of waiting to focus it up.
It may not be quite a tie, Matthew. Let's break the tie between Robert Woods and Cooper, your little Cooper Kupp. Which one would you prefer?
Robert Woods.
Okay, why?
Even though he is my little Cooper Kupp, I always have a spot in my heart for him. I have Woods as the higher value. I think he's going to have the better fantasy season. Look, last year, averaged over 9 targets a game. That was top 10 among wide receivers. Like, even with just 2 touchdowns last year, he got really unlucky with the touchdowns. He ranked 11th among wide receivers in average weekly finish. Over the last 2 seasons, Robert Woods is the 13th best wide receiver in fantasy on a points per game basis. He is so consistent. Brandon Cooks is no longer there. So we expect, obviously, even more targets to go around. We'll talk about the tight ends in a second. But the fact is that whether it's Josh Reynolds or Van Jefferson in 3 wide sets, their passing tree is going to be Robert Woods and Cooper, my little Cooper Kupp, when it comes to the wide receivers. And so Woods, who just gets no respect and love, his ADP is wide receiver 20. I have him as a top 12 guy this year, and I just don't understand. He is so consistent. He gets so many targets. And if he gets even slightly positive regression of the touchdowns, even if he gets to like 5 or 6, which is not tough to get to given the amount of targets he gets to, I don't know. I think he's an amazing value at wide receiver 20, which is where he's going on.
Yeah, I really...
Give me Robert Woods all day, every day.
Yeah, I am actually... I'm in on both players, and I would prefer Robert Woods, and a lot of the same reasons that you pointed towards. Cooper Kupp is a really fascinating conversation, and I hate the idea of assigning any player as just being like a system something. System quarterback is what we most talk about, but some people like to make the case that Cooper Kupp is the biggest benefactor of playing for Sean McVay, of any of these wide receivers. If you look back at his numbers last year, he's always been a good touchdown producer. And last year, despite the fact that his second half of the season was a lot less target-focused than the first half, he still scored 5 touchdowns in the last 5. He scored a touchdown in every single one of the Rams' last 5 games. And I think that, you know, it's kind of like a knack, right? Like, some guys just have it finding the end zone. So I think Cooper Kupp is going to continue to defy some of the Mike Clay regression suggestions. And... But I agree. Robert Woods is the player that I just think the volume is going to be not just comparable, but that the week-to-week output is going to be more consistent, and he's bound for some good luck this year.
I have him at wide receiver 17. His ADP is 19, so I'm higher than the consensus on both Robert Woods and my little Cooper Kupp. You mentioned the second half of the season, and that's the only question. If you want the argument against Cooper Kupp, it's not one that I buy, but the argument against Cooper Kupp is the second half of the year, he really dropped off. Second half of the year is when Tyler Higbee emerged. And it felt like, because of the issues that they had, both personnel-wise and in terms of running the ball on the offensive line, that they went to more 12 and that they played more 2 tight end sets, and that there's a concern that the emergence of Higbee, especially in the middle of the field, is going to hurt Cooper Kupp's production. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's the argument against.
Right.
That is the argument against Cooper Kupp. One thing, and we'll talk about this when we get to Jared Goff, but I think this is very important. Jared Goff is somebody that had insanely bad luck when it comes to touchdown passes. So if you think about positive regression for both Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, that starts with Jared Goff. Jared Goff made my love list in terms of others receiving votes. And so we'll talk about it when we get to Jared Goff. But
well,
my expectation
that's it right
is,
there. Yeah.
I mean, look, here's the thing about Jared Goff. I'll just finish the thought. Jared Goff last year was top 3 in passing yards, attempts, and completions. And yet he was like 20th in touchdowns. I mean, like, he was a guy that was thrown all the time. This is a guy that's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in his career. Like, 2 years ago, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And then last year, he just fell off the map. And it was because he got really unlucky with the touchdowns. Our friend Rich Rebar at Lord Reeves on Twitter, part of RotoPass, just to be clear there. But love the stat that he found. He tweeted this out, which is that last year, Jared Goff had 7 different passes where the receiver was tackled at the 1 yard line.
Crazy.
And didn't throw a touchdown pass in that series, meaning like they got down at the 1 and then, you know, they gave it to Gurley or something like that. But like didn't get a touchdown pass out of any of those series. And so again, I just thought Jared Goff got insanely unlucky. And if Jared Goff's getting unlucky, that means Woods and Kupp is as well. We expect positive regression in the passing touchdowns for the entire Rams offense.
All right. So speaking of the entire Rams offense, you did mention a little bit earlier, Tyler Higbee, who came on strong at the end of last season. He might have been the most valuable waiver wire add during the last 6 weeks of the 2019 season. He was awesome in the playoffs. Is it bound to sustain, Matthew? Because he was playing like a Zach Ertz or a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce for much of the second half of last year. Do you buy that he can come close to replicating that success?
Of course. Do I buy it? Yes. Do I? Yes, of course. Look, first tight end ever with 4 straight games of 7 catches and 100 yards in NFL history, right? You know, despite the fact that he didn't play all that much, right? I mean, it was Gerald Everett for quite some time. He still led all tight ends in red zone targets. Like, I know that they like Higbee, and the concern on him is that, hey, Gerald Everett was pretty good. But Higbee is somebody that they drafted with very high expectations. The current regime, Sean McVay was there when Higbee was drafted, and so I do buy this. He certainly makes me a little bit nervous, but I have him at tight end 8. That's his ADP as well. He's going as tight end 8, so I have him as a lower-end tight end 1. There's a little bit of risk there, but the upside is tremendous.
All right, Safai, I know you want to get in on this conversation with Tyler Higbee and the Rams in general. What stands out to you about Higbee and the potential for a repeat of his success?
Jared Goff loves him, and I think it really depends on if you believe that the Rams will run an offense with 2 tight end sets like they were a lot at the end of last year. His yardage was very back-heavy, as you mentioned. It was in the latter part of the season. Over 70% of his 700-plus yards came in 5 games. Jared Goff, in a virtual tailgate with fans, said that he wants to have 3,000-yard receivers this year. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp were 2 of them last year, and Gerald Everett hit 700-plus yards in that handful of games where he was heavily involved. So I believe there are hints in this training camp that they are operating with a similar offense to how they ended last season. I think Tyler Higbee's a good bet. I think he could end up, hear me out, as a top 5 tight end at the end of the season.
Good stuff there from Stefania. That was actually, you had another bold call last night about Blake Jarwin as a top 10 fantasy tight end for this year. So some players that we could see some great value from in a position where it's hard to find stars.
The concern on Gerald Everett, the concern on Higbee, I should say, I just want to point this stat out because I think it's important, that from weeks 1 through 12 last year, Tyler Higbee averaged 5.3 fantasy points per game. Weeks 13 on, 21 fantasy points per game. Week 13 on, Gerald Everett missed 3 games, saw a total of 1 target from week 13 on. So, like, he was really banged up. So that's the question. Did Higbee show enough? And I believe he did. But he is not without risk, and I think he has more risk than some of the other tight ends going in his range, because there's a chance that if there's a healthy Everett and they split the snaps again like we saw earlier in the year, then that's a concern. So, but I think Higbee was so dominant over that, you know, from week 13 on, that Sean McVay and the Rams are like, all right, you're the guy. We finally see the guy that we drafted. We're rolling you out there. But I just wanted to point that out, that he is not without risk.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money GEICO could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed with
what?
Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote? Well, as nice as that sounds, it's probably never going to happen, guys.
Happened for me.
But at least there's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com. to learn more.
You know, these days it seems like life forces us to be on all the time, but every now and then it's important to stop and reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Don't miss the new packaging from Coors Light. It's already hitting the shelves. The new design features clear skies that invite you to sit back, unwind, and drink it all in. And the iconic Coors Light mountains still turn blue when your beer is as cold as the Rockies. It's a brand new look, same ice cold refreshment though. Coors Light is the one we choose when we need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Always celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, let's move forward to the Arizona Cardinals, part two of our double trouble. We obviously did the other half of the NFC West on Thursday's show.
Can you speak French?
Nope, but Stefania can, so we'll talk to her in just a moment about it. Okay. Let's begin, though, with DeAndre Hopkins, who was traded this offseason. I know Stefania was very impressed by part two right there. DeAndre Hopkins was traded this offseason, and of course, the trade focused on David Johnson going back to Houston. Matthew, we've had this conversation about where we're most comfortable drafting Michael Thomas. We talked about the first-round value of Davante Adams. DeAndre Hopkins is the only wide receiver in the NFL with three straight top five fantasy football finishes. Does he deserve to be a top 10 fantasy pick this year?
Not for me.
Okay.
I mean, among wide receivers, certainly, but not just top 10 overall. No, right, 10 overall. I have Mitt 19 overall. So if you go to my top 200, which is on ESPN.com right now, of course, I'm a company man.
Good job.
Thanks, buddy.
You'll see that I have him at 19 overall. So I'm at the end of the second round. He's my wide receiver five. So, you know, the concern here is, and we talked about this somewhat on the marathon show last night on television, is that at the elite level, you have to nitpick a little bit. And so it's two things. Number one is comparing him to the other elite options. I prefer Michael Thomas, Davante Adams, Julio Jones, Tyreek Hill, all guys, those are the four wide receivers that I have ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, all four guys with the same quarterback as last year, in the same offensive system as last year, with the same coach as last year. DeAndre Hopkins is the only one that's changing, right? He's going from Houston to Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and the Arizona Cardinals. Mm. So at the elite level, you have to nitpick. I am nitpicking here, and that's why I have him down at five. The other thing is about just roster construction in general, why I have him at 19 overall, why I say no, I don't believe he deserves. Deserves is the wrong word. One of the reason why I would not take him in the first round of the top 10 picks, top 12 picks, is because, again, wide receiver is so deep. And so if I come around, and so even I have him at 19 and overall, but if I don't get a wide receiver in the first two rounds, I am perfectly fine going into a year with my number one wide receiver being Chris Godwin or Mike Evans or Allen Robinson or Juju or Adam Thielen or, you know, like Kenny Golladay. Like, there's a lot of guys that you can get in the third and fourth round that I think will put up wide receiver one numbers.
I kind of want to go around the horn here because I know Stefania on the Sports Center Ranking special last night during the marathon had some interesting thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins. And then from Stefania, I want to ask Daniel, who has DeAndre at number two. So, Stefania, last night we were talking about DeAndre Hopkins, and you were bullish. You were optimistic on him remaining the elite fantasy option he's been.
I just think the talent is undeniable, and he provides something that they haven't had in Arizona in the way that he goes up and gets the football. I mean, he is a guy who will play physical to get it. He's not the speediest guy on the field, but he will outman someone to get the ball, and Kyler Murray hasn't had that. I think this is going to be the first opportunity to really see the Cliff Kingsbury offense running the way that he desires it to run. I'm not that worried about chemistry. DeAndre is a veteran enough to be able to pick these things up. And you know what else I love about him? And I said this last night, as somebody who covers injuries, you know a guy who doesn't miss time. DeAndre Hopkins does not miss time. And he'll get banged up. He'll miss a practice here and there during the week, but he always shows up on Sunday. He's reliable, and quarterbacks love reliable receivers.
Stefania, good stuff there. Now, Dan, you have him at number two amongst your wide receivers, which may also mean you have him as a top 10 player this year. You also very optimistic on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I love Nuke. I've always thought that he's just a fantastic wide receiver. And Matthew, you talked about the idea of being able to figure out, like, how you're doing tiebreakers. How am I deciding this guy versus this guy? One of the things for me, you know, I have him above Davante Adams because I have Aaron Rodgers ranked so low. I mean, if I have to choose between Davante Adams and a quarterback that we have at quarterback 15 or Nuke and a guy we have inside the top five, like, I just like that upside a little bit more. At the same point with Tyreek Hill or with Julio, there are just other people in that offense that I think are going to take targets away. They're valuable. Obviously, you've got Travis Kelce, you've got CEH, you've got Calvin Ridley, you've got, you know. So for there, for Nuke to be there, I think there's going to be an excitement, one. And two, we're nitpicking. Everything about this conversation between these like three or four people is nitpicking. So like, if there's one thing that has someone over top of somebody else for you, I think it's okay for any of these three guys to sort of be, you know, right after Michael Thomas, it's like 2A, 2B, 2C.
Yeah, I'll close the circle and just...
Can I push back for one second? I'm sorry, Field. I just want to push back on what Daniel just said there.
Sure,
one
okay.
second if
sure.
I can. And make no mistake, if DeAndre Hopkins finishes the year as the number one wide receiver in fantasy or the number two, it wouldn't shock me.
Oh, no.
But I don't think it's fair to say, like, you know... Because Julio's got, he's dealing with Calvin Ridley or whatever. Tyreek is dealing with, you know, Kelsey and CEH and other ones. I mean, like, that's the other thing. It's Hopkins, like, he's got Larry
Christian
Fitzgerald,
Kirk
Christian Kirk, yeah. and Kenyon Drake. I mean, like.
So here's how, maybe I mean, this was going to go where I was going to.
He's going to lead that team in targets.
You play Pop Warner football with Larry Fitzgerald. Like, he's on his, and I love Larry Fitzgerald, but he's not the guy that he used to be.
The idea that he doesn't have competition for targets. You know, I mean, like, if that's your argument, Davante Adams should be your number two.
Right.
Because he has no competition.
Right, that was my, that's where I, so I kind of close the circle with, I have DeAndre at fourth, and the simple explanation, Michael Thomas, the best volume in the NFL, obviously. Number two for me is Davante Adams, who, to your point, it's his volume probably has, he's probably the only other wide receiver who has a chance to break Michael Thomas's receptions record from last year. Unlikely, but he has a chance. And then Julio is three because he's got much more big play propensity than really any of the guys in the top four. Number four for me is DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is a good bet for 100 plus catches and somewhere around 1,100 yards.
He's had 150 targets in each of the last 5 years. Like, yeah. The dude's a target monster.
Sure. No doubt. I just think that the two players, I think all three guys are ahead of him.
In an offense he's no longer in.
It's fine. Totally. We're nitpicking here. I'm at the back end of the second round as well. Let's talk about his quarterback because it gets really interesting there. And we had a conversation a few weeks ago, actually, like a week ago. Time is all relative. And it was whether we would prefer Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. You and I differed on this one. I was on the Watson side. You were on the
Mr. Unlimited
side. But so let's start with asking the question is that, should Kyler Murray be drafted before his ADP, which is close to Dak Prescott? And maybe let's make this the same argument or debate, whatever you want to call it, because you and I are flipped just by one spot here on these two quarterbacks. You've got Dak Prescott third. I've got him fourth. His ADP right now amongst quarterbacks is fifth, which is in the sixth round. I know what the case is for Dak Prescott, but just reiterate sort of the resume for Dak Prescott as a third quarterback in fantasy this year.
Since Amari Cooper came to the Dallas Cowboys, he's the second best quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah.
He's fourth on a points per game basis. He was, you know, a top three fantasy quarterback last year. Since he came into the NFL, Dak Prescott has more rushing touchdowns than any other quarterback. Right? So he gets you points with his legs. He gets you points with his arm. He's got Amari Cooper. You know, I'm very high on Michael Gallup. Stefania and I both like Blake Jarwin. Her bold prediction last night was Blake Jarwin finishes as a top 10 fantasy tight end. And oh, by the way, they added CeeDee Lamb. Like, wait till you see CeeDee Lamb. People that aren't paying attention, that, like, a lot of people thought CeeDee Lamb had a chance to be the number one wide receiver drafted in the NFL. Like, that's how highly talent evaluators think of CeeDee Lamb. Like, he's somebody that has a chance to be special, and he's the wide receiver on the Cowboys offense this year. They kept, even though there's a new head coach in Dallas, they kept the same offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. They're expecting to run the same offense. And oh, by the way, Dak's playing for a deal. Dak did not sign a long-term deal. He's under a franchise tag. Dak's like, I'm going to bet on myself. So
okay, fair enough.
To me, the long-term consistency of Dak Prescott versus Kyler Murray, who's only been in the NFL 1 year, and we haven't seen it at an elite level yet. However,
I was going to say, but, you know, same thing we could have said for Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, who had started one game before his breakout season.
Absolutely.
And every year we are looking for the next Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think that Kyler Murray is going to be quite as historic as Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson last year, but I do think there's a really compelling case for him to be the breakout quarterback amongst the guys that are ranked within the top 5 to 8. And Kyle can stat check me on this. It would be greatly appreciated. I believe Kyler Murray was number two amongst quarterbacks last year in terms of rushing attempts. He had 93 in total. But did anything about how the Cardinals last year feel like they had uncorked Kyler Murray? Because my suggestion is that they did not unleash Kyler Murray last year. And as a matter of fact, that might have actually been overly conservative. It felt like every Sunday there'd be a joke on my Twitter timeline about how, you know, fourth and one from the three, and the Cardinals, you know, it's 7-6 with 25 seconds left in the first half, and rather than going forward and trying to take an 8-point lead, they would say, you know what? Here we are. Let's kick a field goal. Settle. So they settled too much. By the way, Kyle notes he was third in quarterback rushing attempts. Lamar Jackson was one. Josh Allen, believe it or not, was number two.
That makes sense.
So I'm going to go more rushing for Kyler Murray, more passing touchdowns, few interceptions, and just, I mean, we just sat here and sang the praises of DeAndre Hopkins. The players around, Kyler Murray, very exciting from, it kind of reminds me of Cincinnati, and like, I don't know about the line, but the skill guys are really, really good.
I will tell you that there were times last year where you're like, I can't believe that Cliff Kingsbury has somehow turned Kyler Murray into a game manager. Mm. Yeah, I mean, like, there was definitely, like, you know, we always joke about let Russ cook. Like, there were definitely times where you were watching the Cardinals and you'd be like, let Kyler cook.
Right.
What are you doing? Having said that, Field, I completely understand and agree with your assessment, like, which is the who has the best chance of being this year's Lamar Jackson? It's Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Who we all agreed coming out of college, like, this is a special player and somebody that has just a complete skill set to not only be a dominant NFL quarterback, but a dominant fantasy football quarterback. And you and I both, even though you have him at 3 and I have him at 4, we both are higher on him than the consensus at QB5. That's where his ADP currently is. Daniel also has him at QB4 as well. You know, the only concern, again, like, you have to nitpick. For me, like, I'm all in on Dak, right, and the Cowboys offense. But absolutely, I think he runs more. I think people forget how accurate a thrower he was in college. We know about the athleticism, but I don't think people understand, like, this is a guy that was insanely accurate as a thrower in college as well. We know he's got a cannon for an arm. And so, yes, you add DeAndre Hopkins to a receiving core that has a healthy Christian Kirk, the Hall of Famer, and Larry Fitzgerald. We like Dan Arnold as a sleeper this year as well, right. Tight end. Maybe we'll get to him in a second here. So, and obviously, Kenyon Drake, a nice pass-catching running back out of the backfield.
Let's move to Kenyon Drake, because I think there is at least a case. May not be a strong, but there is at least a case for Kenyon Drake as the number one player in fantasy football this year. You know why? Because he told us himself, if we can take the graphic of Kenyon Drake from Twitter over the weekend, KDX32, which is his Twitter profile, he has a picture of himself, and it says, "This is the face you'll make when I help lead you to a fantasy championship this season," with a big smiley face emoji and a very happy Kenyon Drake. We'll have some analysis here for a second. I'm kidding, obviously, on him having a case as the number one player in your draft this year. Before we get to analysis, though, Matthew, I know you tweeted about this. Like, it is great to see players embrace the role that fantasy football can have in their life and how it can help their career and their popularity and their Q score, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, look, and so it was nice for Kenyon Drake, just kind of as a nod to fans. It was anti the Arizona Cardinals social media
policy. Hey, yo, come on.
Yes. It's a new year. It's a new year. All is forgiven at AZ Cardinals. But yes, I quote tweeted that, and I just said it was awesome to see as well. Love Kenyon Drake sort of embracing his role in fantasy football. And I always love a player believing in himself. What do you got, Daniel?
I just want to say that, like, as a part of this, like, this is what we want, right? We've talked about, like, players embracing fantasy and let's all have fun with it. It is now the onus of the fans and the people that are on Twitter to not be a jerk when you're talking to those players.
That's
as
right.
A part of, like,
that's
you
right.
Did this for your fantasy team.
It's a very personal decision. If there's a player that says, I hate fantasy football, that's fine. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
There's only one rule that's not allowed.
Yep.
Daniel just said, fans getting up in players' mentions saying, you didn't do me the way, you know, you did not help me out as much as you should have.
This but is it what is we cool. want, so don't ruin it for everybody,
yeah,
guys.
But it's cool. Kenyon Drake, listen, Kenyon Drake had a career, I'm not even sure a resurrection is the right term, but just he had a career catapult last year, and part of the reason why we know him so well is not because he played for a team that went, whatever it was, 6-10 last year, but because he was a fantasy superstar. So, Matthew, I do think, though, and I really genuinely believe this, because we overanalyze our top 10 for positions way too much sometimes during the preseason, especially when we can't see them play at all. But we have discussed the top 7 running backs frequently in some order after Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, also Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Derrick Henry. Next players often off the board include Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, and also Joe Mixon.
Josh Jacobs is in
and
that
Josh Jacobs.
As well. Miles Sanders, yep.
Are we overthinking things? Should Kenyon Drake be the 8th running back? Maybe even a first-round pick? Like, should it be a lock? Because there are some suggestions that he should be a lock first-round pick. A lock.
Yeah, I don't think we are overlooking
interesting.
I understand the argument. Here's the pro-Kenyon Drake argument. And I mostly buy it, right? I mean, this is a guy that, after he joined the Cardinals, from week 9 on, was the third best running back in fantasy. He averaged over 18 touches a game, over 100 scrimmage yards a game, had 8 touchdowns, which was tied for third among all players in that span. He was nothing short of amazing. And so if we expect this entire offense to take a step forward this year, which we all do, right? We expect Kyler Murray to take a big step forward. We expect the addition of DeAndre Hopkins to stretch the field, allowing for more underneath stuff, which is where Kenyon Drake can operate. We get all that, okay? Here's the argument against. You're talking about 8 games. Mm. It's a small sample size.
Yeah.
Kenyon Drake was a committee back at Alabama.
Right.
He was a committee back in Miami under the first regime. He was a committee back in Miami in the second regime, right? They're like two different professional coaching staffs, rightly or wrongly, have, I don't want to say given up on him, but have not said, we want to turn the keys of our offense over to you. He has found a home in Arizona. Can he sustain that for an entire season?
I was going to say, you know what? The first two may have viewed him that way, and you know the third one did? They transition tagged him.
Yeah.
Paying him a ton of money this year.
I understand, exactly. Right, I'm just giving you the anti-argument. I'm just saying that the question you asked is, are we overthinking this? Is this a no-brainer? Should he just be locked in as RB8? And my answer is no. I do not think we are overthinking this. I do not think Kenyon Drake is without risk. Look, I have Kenyon Drake as my running back 13, right? So I'm slightly lower in consensus than him. He's running back 11. It is because of that risk built in. I am more of a fan of Austin Eckler. I am more a fan of like Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, some of those guys,
okay,
right?
Interesting.
But who I think have longer track records of success and I think more of a floor.
All right.
But 100%. Could Kenyon Drake be this year's Aaron Jones? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they just think the volume should be really good, even if the rushing yards per carry is not gargantuan. And you mentioned he had 8 touchdowns last year in that 8-week stretch. 4 of them came in one game. So we understand some of the indicators. I just really like Kenyon Drake, maybe even more than I realized. Stefania, you want to hear actually anything else on the Cardinals here, Matthew, before we...
The only other thing I just wanted to mention, you know, I love my like late round tight ends, is that Dan Arnold, last two games, like just had a, you know, kind of a nice little run there. And I just, if you were in a deep league, like the Scott Fishbowl Superflex League, he is a guy. Like every league in which I have a deep league that's tight end premium, and I've done a few of those drafts, I leave with Dan Arnold. I'm just a name to either put on your radar, or if you're in a super deep league, I do think there's some very positive buzz about Dan Arnold coming out of Arizona. I know they like him there.
Okay. Keep an eye on Dan Arnold, according to Matthew Berry. Like that. All right, Stefania, you are up.
Yes, apropos for Fantasy Marathon, I have a message for you from Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Now more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you count on them for the high-quality top-tier gas. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal you can count on. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio. And start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to go, be safe. The people at Marathon are behind you all the way.
Well, hello there, football fans living in apartments in big cities. I'm sympathizing with all of you out there who want every live game every Sunday afternoon, but who can't get DirecTV where you live. Well, guess what? I have some good news for you. You can now stream 2020 NFL Sunday Ticket on your favorite devices, no satellite required, and get every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. Go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv now to see if you're eligible. Why watch only one Sunday out-of-market game when you can watch them all? Catch every game with NFLSundayTicket.tv. Use the promo code ESPN2020 at checkout, and you can save 15%. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. ESPN 2020, that promo code, ESPN 2020, saves you 15% at NFLSundayTicket.tv. Don't miss any of the action. Head to NFLSundayTicket.tv today. Use that promo code ESPN 2020. Hey, Field Yates.
Hey, Matthew Berry.
Two things I just wanted to mention very quickly about the Cardinals, one thing I'll mention very quickly, which is that I think Chase Edmonds is also one of my favorite sort of running insurance, back flyers, yeah. insurance. Just again, as we talked about, we saw Chase Edmonds be really productive last year. I mean, you know, when he got an opportunity before Kenyon Drake came over, Chase Edmonds looked the part. I think Chase Edmonds is a starting running back in the NFL. And so just that's a guy, look, if something were to happen to Kenyon Drake, whether it's performance or injury related, Chase Edmonds would be a top 10 fantasy running back.
I'm assuming the other thing you wanted to mention was that I know we did not get into Christian Kirk in much depth, but he's an exceptional value. I mean, this is a player who's got plenty of talent, and if he gets the opportunity to be the number two wide receiver, which may not be the case because of Larry Fitzgerald, at least for this year, he's a guy that would really benefit being slotted into that number two role as opposed to maybe being thrust into a number one wide receiver role.
A very talented young wide receiver who I have ranked higher than the consensus.
Daniel, I think it's time for a couple social questions. Trivia. Do we have time?
Is anyone asking about my Put It On The Board shirt that I'm wearing?
Not yet, but Matthew, I was going to ask you about that in a second. You want to tell us about it now?
Well, I was just saying it's available at fantasylife.com.
Is that gradient font at the bottom? Look
it
at is that.
Indeed. Yeah, it's really nice. It's really, there's an entire 06010 collection. If you're a fan of the show, you want a spicy tomato t-shirt, if you want a crappy band you've never heard of shirt, if you want a curse of Stefania Bell shirt, you can get them all at fantasylife.com. Get yourself a little merch. Support the show. Support what we're doing here.
What's
support
the inside of that shirt feel like? Is it soft? You want to, can you just pull it,
really
it up and just show us what the inside of the shirt looks like?
That. What am I, you? No, no one wants to see my big fat white belly, but I'm just saying it's very comfortable. You can sleep in it. You can wear it with pride at the 06010. Here we go. What do you got?
Let's be quick here in these social questions. Number one, what are your thoughts on if a game is suspended Monday night for COVID and there are still players remaining? How do you suggest that matchup be determined? And this is just that strategy thing that we talked about for like this episode one. If you're going to think about it, make sure your league has a strategy. So I'm just curious for you guys, putting in front of you on the spot, I realize.
My first instinct is probably that you need to render all matchups that week null and void.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what the NFL says, right? If the NFL says we're going to replay this game 3 weeks from now, then that matchup isn't, you know,
postponed.
It's postponed until the results of that game happen. Having said that, I do think, as we've talked about this, you just need to consider every scenario, and we're just going to, a lot of this is going to be making up as we go along, but I would say have a tiebreaker in your league rules, right? That about like, you know, is there a, like, could you substitute somebody like that?
Right.
You know,
or maybe like, you could, this is outside the box, but maybe you could, like, by if it's canceled by, let's say, noon that day, you could take the players that you had scheduled to play, throw out their best and worst game of the season, take their average score for the year to that point, and give them that many points that week. I know that's weird, but this is all weird.
Right, this is the way to do it. The other way I was going to say is, like, that in the case that there's any cancellation, you just immediately for that week go to a best ball format, which means that your best of all the players that are on your roster, whatever the best sport starting lineup would have been, so that, you know, everyone's equal there, right? Just it's retroactively started for what the best possible lineup would have been.
Okay.
I like that. The whole point of that question, if it's just for even for the audience, just think about it. The strategy, all it is just talking about, make sure everyone's on the same page. Yep. So we're going to head it back to Kyle right now in the bunker for our Geico trivia question of the day.
In the second half of last season, after he joined the Cardinals, Kenyon Drake was a top five running back on three different occasions. Which of these four running backs didn't have three such finishes in all of 2019? Option A, Joe Mixon. Option B, Mark Ingram. Option C, Alvin Kamara. Option D, Nick Chubb.
I know I'm wrong. I'm just going to guess anyways, but I know I'm wrong. I like
multiple choice. You can only be so wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a 25% chance of being right, which is sort of my usual batting average in life anyway. Stefania, as always, you get first opportunity. Who are you going with?
I was down to two, but I'm going to go with Joe Mixon.
Okay, Stefania says A, Joe Mixon. Matthew, who do you say?
I say Alvin Kamara.
Right, I think the smart play is to go with Alvin Kamara because he's the biggest star out of that group. And
he had such bad touchdown luck.
He would be the most surprising. I'm going to go with Joe Mixon as well for Stefania. I know he came on strong late in the season, but maybe not Joe Mixon. I don't know.
Field Yates, the smart play is to always follow Stefania Bell. Option A, Joe Mixon would be the right answer. The other two,
let's go.
Is there anything better than both Field and Stefania getting it right and Matthew being
the only one?
That's why I do this. That is why I do this.
Stefania, you're not the best in the business for nothing. Thank you for your great trivia insight. And thank you for all the great injury insight.
Very upset.
I love that Matthew was like, hey, Kyle, can we make sure we get some multiple choice questions, please? And then he's the only one that didn't get the multiple choice question right.
I did not suggest that.
But I love you. I love you.
Outrageous.
Stefania, great stuff.
I, for one, would like to thank Kyle for his service to the 06010. I don't know who this researcher is tomorrow, but I just want to thank Kyle.
Hey,
it's been a great career.
Yeah.
It's been awesome. We really appreciate you, Kyle.
Sure.
Thanks so much, and best of luck in your next endeavor.
We're going to have to go to RotoPass to get our stats from now on if Kyle's not here anymore.
That's right, rotopass.com.
55 show violations for Matthew. We are back on Tuesday with more Double Trouble. Continue to watch the Fantasy Football Marathon. We're on all day, all night.
Fantasy show on ESPN2 at 3 p.m. today. Tune in to watch that. 3 p.m. ESPN2.
We'll talk
Fantasy
to you Tuesday.
Show. Peace out.
Center for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre Fantasy Advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.